Okay, what is going on YouTube? Good evening, FPL family. Welcome to this first, can we call this the first one? I think we can. This is the first of our season 2021 Game Week Reviews, Game Week 1. I'm Lee, this is Sam. Welcome to FPL family. We've obviously done a lot of pre-season work, but I think we can,
so busy.
I think we can say this is the first one of the new season, can't we?
Yeah.
It has been a busy week, hasn't it?
Honestly, I feel like I've not stopped this week.
Interesting, we sat here last week and we were talking about the fact we hadn't, or you certainly hadn't, tinkered as much over the summer.
No.
Last week was mental and I tinkered like a good one.
See, I didn't.
That sounds wrong, doesn't it? I tinkered like a good
We don't want to know about that, thank you.
I was all over the place. I was players in, players out.
You were a nightmare, to be fair.
Yeah, I was.
On Friday night, Lee was a nightmare.
I was making like, I was... Just
all of a sudden you've got players that you've never had.
But I was looking at it going, right, so do I go Nyland or Steer? Nyland or Steer? It's like, doesn't actually matter. They're signing Martinez. So it doesn't matter. Just get somebody and just go with it. But it also I've had, as you guys know, I had Mitrovic. The whole, he was like 6 million, bang, I want him locked in.
Yeah.
And right at the last minute, took him out. And goodness me, what a furore that caused on Twitter when Mitrovic didn't start. Game week one, first game of the FPL season, and a locked in asset, not on the team sheet. Absolutely crazy.
It was bonkers way to start.
Absolutely crazy.
And what I did find amusing was the amount of DMs that I had on Instagram, because obviously, as you know, I don't tweet. Of people screenshotting Rockstar half an hour post the deadline going, by the way, nothing you can do about it now. Mitch isn't playing.
Yeah, the whole deadline moving an hour and a half, an hour 90 minutes before the kickoff.
Amazing.
I don't think caught too many people out. But there's old Rockstar half an hour after the deadline's passed, where you can't do anything.
He's just
posted all the...
There you go.
Turned into like a
Good
proper
luck.
Like like a proper troll account.
It was funny. But I think last week was just chaos. And I mean, we did a lot, didn't we, in terms of content creation last
week.
If you
enjoyed the FPL show, we certainly enjoyed being back down in the studio with Ian this time and with Jules.
Yeah.
So we enjoyed that. You were on the podcast.
Twice.
As well.
Twice
official
last
podcast
week.
Twice, yes. We had a lot of scout stuff going on as well with Fantasy Football Scouts. It was a busy old week, wasn't it? And it's
it
only
really
going to get even busier now coming into game week two.
And I must say, I've just sat, that's what I was doing when you were setting this up, and finished off my Pro Pundit article for this week, which I started writing whilst the Leicester game was on earlier.
What's it about?
Well, it's about my team. So,
right.
But this time around, I kind of thought, I wanted to write about how I feel about FPL.
Right. Is it different now to how you felt this time last week?
No, but do you know what? It's exactly the same as I felt this time last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And because this time, I mean, I've had a terrible game week. I had a terrible game week this first one last year.
You got Salah, you got Aubameyang, can't be that bad.
I mean, everyone else is blanked, but yeah,
right.
I mean, thanks for bringing up the two that have done all right. But the point of my article this week, and you'll be able to read it later on in the week when it comes out over on FF Scout, is that don't panic.
It's one game week.
You can't win FPL in game week one. You can't lose FPL in game week one. You can ruin your whole strategy for the whole season by going mental with free transfers, playing a wild card.
Got to show a bit of faith. We were just tuned into the first half an hour of Andy's stream there on Let's Talk FPL, another FPL channel, guys. If you're not following and subscribed over on Andy's channel, Let's Talk FPL, once we're done over here, go check him out. People in the live chat talking about, oh, I've got to take a hit for this, or I've got to take a wild card for that.
Don't panic.
You've got to have a bit of faith, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, and this is what I've been saying in the article I've just written, is that you spend all of pre-season looking at your team. You spend hours thinking, oh, that's the player I want. And you don't just look at game week one. Well, I don't think you do anyway.
Yeah.
I certainly don't. I don't just look at game week one. I'm looking at game weeks 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I'm thinking, that is the player I want for that. Now, all right, as we all know, I changed my strategy slightly last minute with not having Bruno and having Son. So Son was always a 1 week punt just for this game week. So he's the one player that I'm not precious about. But the rest of my team are there for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not okay, this game week did not go well. There is absolutely no denying that. It is only going to get worse tomorrow because I don't have anyone to play. However,
No Chelsea,
no Wolves, no Sheffield United. No, ooh. I've got a couple of Brighton, but they're on the bench. So it's only going to get worse. However, the team are the team that I picked for a reason. And I'm not going to spend... Like, people are like, you're going to hit all your Spurs players out. No, of course I'm not. I'm taking an 8-point hit to
We will be talking about Spurs in a bit more detail later on because that was a bit of an inept performance, wasn't it, today? And my Ali shout looking particularly bad, guys, after I've spent the last 6 weeks talking about what a force I think he's going to be
watch,
in FPL this season.
You watch goodness tomorrow. Me. You watch tomorrow on when the next episodes of All or Nothing come out and Ali's like... It's been slated by Mourinho and we all go, oh, that's why!
I'll tell you how I feel, guys. I feel completely and utterly duped by Amazon. I feel completely duped.
Can you complain about that?
I'm pretty sure Amazon don't care about my complaints, but I feel like I've watched this Amazon documentary and it's bigging up in my mind, all this selective editing and all, you know, Ali's going to be pushed by Mourinho and all the rest of it. Half-time game week one, he hauls him and calls him lazy after the game. I mean, come on, Mourinho, what are you doing to me? Amazon Prime, what are you doing to me? Anyway, guys, we need to get into and on with the show and say hello to a few people. Guys, get your scores in the live chat. And obviously, if you're watching the replay, we'd love to hear in the comments how you guys got on. Obviously,
getting on,
yeah, because obviously four teams left to go. You're all out. I've got a few players still
about
to go.
12.
Not least Werner and James, and I've got Jimenez as well. So, guys, get in the chat. Let us know. Well, listen, I'm on 40-something points, but at least I do have some hope, right? We spoke, I think, a couple of weeks ago about how I like to have a bit of hope in my FPL game. There is still hope, guys, because it hasn't gone all that well for me either. I must admit, I've seen a few scores on Twitter with, oh, I've got 70 this, I've got 80 that, and I'm sure in the live chat there's going to be a few people with, you know, very high scores that have captained Salah, which is absolutely the right thing to do this week. But, I mean, I looked at the average before I came on. I'm above average, right? I'm on 44 points and I'm above average. So it's a bit meh, but I'll sort of take it at this stage of the season. But anyway, more on that a bit later on. Of course, we'll be going through some of the key games, some of the key action that we saw this weekend. Don't get me wrong, despite all of our, maybe a little bit of a mini whinge there about FPL, it was fantastic to have football back.
Oh, gosh, no, it's not.
Fantastic.
In no way is it a whinge. I mean, I loved it. I've loved every minute about this weekend. My team hasn't done that well, but hey, that's life. And next week, they'll do better.
But good to have football back though, right?
100%. It's been... But I said to Lee this afternoon, just before Spurs kicked off, we were sat on our sofas and I said, do you know, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago suddenly that we were doing in doing Project Restart. And now we're back doing it again. But my goodness, doesn't it make you happier to have football back on?
Oh, it absolutely does. Because the lockdown period was, you know, no football, no nothing, no FPL family. And it was just like... What do I do with my Sunday nights now? You know, it's a bit. So the fact that we've only had a short summer and we're back at it again is absolutely top notch for me. I will take that. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. We've got Optimus Prema is in. How are we doing? 42. He says, got any players left to play, Optimus? How are you getting on with your team?
Most people have Chelsea because Werner's owned by like half the game.
Werner is highly owned, no doubt about it. Let's see. We've got Shiva is in, 52, with Jimenez and Brewster left. Let's see whether Brewster gets any minutes. A lot of link at the minute to him going away on loan still.
Yeah,
Sheffield United, the latest to be linked with Brewster
on loan.
Well,
that's interesting because I took him out on the basis that on Friday night he was linked with Swansea. And I was like, well, I don't want him if he goes to Swansea.
Well, yeah, I think that was just because historically he was before. But a bit of a link with Sheffield United. And I did see on a reasonably reliable source on Twitter, guys, but I think... From what I understand, Wilder and his team have put together a bit of a plan around how they're going to use Brewster and how they are going to contribute to his development this year, which is, if you're going to appeal to the way that Klopp likes to manage his players, that's how you're going to do it. I'm going to look after your player. Here's how I'm going to manage him. Here's how I'm going to develop him. And you'd like to think that in that dossier, there's going to be a plan for some minutes as well, right? So listen, look out for that. Not done yet. But if Brewster goes to Sheffield United... Listen, they got options, right? They've got Moussa, McBurney, they've got loads, they've got McGoldrick and players. I think he's better than all them. I do. I think Brewster's absolutely better than all them. I think he'll play and he'll do very, very well. And he'll be 4.5 in FPL.
Well,
if
he goes to a Premier League club, it's why I had him all pre-season, right? If he goes to a Premier League club, then I think he becomes pretty much essential just because of his price tag.
I think so. Who have we got? Lucas Burnett is in. Did you watch the Liverpool game? Absolutely madness. Lucas, of course I watched the Liverpool game, and you are absolutely right. It was complete madness. We're going to talk about that game first in just a second. Salil is in. Hello from Seattle, he says. Thanks for the Ali suggestion, Lee. I'm sorry, Salil. I'm sorry. I've duped. We've all been duped by Amazon. Forget it. I don't know whether I'm going to give him a second chance, though, by the way. I don't know.
Okay. I'll give you my opinion now on this.
No, no. We'll do the Spurs game in a bit. We'll do the Spurs game in a bit. FPL Geordie is in. How are we doing? Looking forward to Chelsea tomorrow. Pulisic and Werner he has in that game, Geordie. Jacob17 is here. How are we doing? Hi, I'm Jacob. I don't own Salah. I had a sad weekend. Jacob, cheer up, mate. Don't worry. It's he won't bad. Score hat-tricks every single week, we don't think. FPL Tips is in. Good evening, Harry.
Hey,
how are you doing? Very nice to see you. Lionel Mazbay is in. How are we doing, Lionel? Very nice to see you. The FPL Fan Show with FPL Prince is in. Another great YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed to the FPL Fan Show, after us tonight, go Google or go do a YouTube search for the FPL Fan Show. Really great content going on there. Really nice, simple 15, 16 minute videos. I love the set, by the way. Have you ever seen the FPL Fan Show? It's great. The little light over the top. It's very like dark. It's like a jazz club.
I've just noticed that our mic bar keeps hitting red even when I'm speaking. So we must have ourselves really, really loud.
Are we too loud?
Because I don't normally get anywhere near the red bar.
Maybe I'll turn it down.
You are constant.
Maybe I'll turn it down. I talk loudly anyway.
I know, but you're hitting red every time you speak and I'm hitting it most times I speak. So I'm just concerned that we're blowing everyone's ears off.
Right, let's turn it down a little bit and then let's see if this makes a difference. And you guys can tell us in the live chat.
Is that
whether
better?
We are, or that mic should be louder.
Oh God, don't turn us up.
She might be louder. Hold on. Let's go down.
Just, sorry,
you
see, guys.
You have to make technical changes during the live stream.
I know, but I'm sorry, but I was just watching That's Better. That's about not where I normally am. I was really worried that we were just killing everyone's eardrums, and I didn't want to have a load of deaf people by the end of this stream.
Nah, volume is fine. A bit loud. Yes, too loud. Yeah. Yes, fine. We think we're a bit better. We're in the yellow now, dear. Is that okay?
I think that's
is that
better.
A better place to be?
I mean, that's
be?
About where I am normally when I speak, and I was just worried I was shouting at everybody, and I'm not... I'm not really one for shouting.
Then people have gone, that's too loud, that's really loud. That's because I turned it up, guys. Done that wrong. I've turned it now down. Let's see. There we go. Jeez.
Sorry.
Have we not learned that we don't do technical during the last...
I was just worried that everyone was going to be right, God. Blimey, come on halfway through and we're just like shouting.
Just as everyone's ears were about to explode, Sam, we had two super chats from the absolute king or queen, Nihal. Tell us, you know, the king or queen of super chats, Nihal. Thank you for another super chat. Sam, check out this score. 78.
Nice.
With Werner to go. Thinking of Ings to Martial. Listen, don't panic on Ings. Could have easily had a goal there at the end if it weren't for a good save from Gaeta. But we'll talk more about Southampton in just a second. We've also had a super chat from Stealth Panda, our mate.
Hey,
Ken. Say, Ken,
Panda.
How are we doing? Very nice to see you. 52 with 3 left. All that matters is that it is back. And I totally agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. Don't panic on
Don't
FPL
panic.
Score. Don't worry, guys. Chill out. It's game week one, for goodness sake.
Go have bad games.
You had a terrible game week one last year. You got 3K. Come on, don't worry about
it. Don't panic.
Don't worry about it. Let's see who else is in. We've got Kunkaram is here. How are we doing, Kunkaram? Thank you very much for sending your predictions in the post. We got them, mate. They are here.
They're with the others.
They are in with the rest of the FPL predictions, and we'll be looking at those in 38 game weeks' time.
Well,
that was good last
week.
That was good last week, wasn't it? Did you enjoy that? I watched
honestly,
it back. The chat was absolutely frigging mental.
I love that prediction stream. It is one of the best ones we do.
Looking forward to the results in 37 game weeks time. We've got Aria Man in tonight. We've got Dan Frost. How are we doing, Dan? Very nice to see you. Mark Anslow. Hi, guys. I had triple Everton to start last season.
I tell you what. I mean, we'll talk about Spurs Everton in a minute. But my goodness, Everton. Interesting.
Yeah, well, I put a tweet out there just before we came on.
Oh, I bet you did.
My point...
Anti-Mourinho.
I do that every week anyway. But the point I made in my tweet was about Everton. I've made a massive mistake on Everton.
No.
How often did we sit here in the summer on all our live streams and talk about Everton? I'll tell you how much. Not a lot.
So I fundamentally disagree with you that we've made a mistake on Everton.
Why?
Because when did Everton sign all of these players?
Yeah, in the last couple of weeks.
Right.
But that's my point. That's the mistake I've made. I've slept on them all summer.
But you can't... For me, anyway, you haven't slept on them all summer because they didn't... You wouldn't have got any Everton players if they hadn't have signed these players. They've signed these players in the last, like, week to 10 days. Then they've been away on international duty, so they've not trained fully with the squad. You're not going to bring in players who've not had full training. Like, you just don't know whether Ancelotti is going to go, yeah, okay... I'm going to start you all, or whether he's going to go...
Yeah, maybe.
So I think this is why this is why we love FPL, because now we've had game week one, we've got a set of data and we can hang stuff on it.
I feel far more informed than you about
absolutely.
Certain teams. Far more
informed. And
that's
why
informed.
You haven't... Yes, you have in some way slept on Everton, but not because you wanted to, but because you just didn't have that knowledge.
But the point I was going to make was that my tweet said, I've been sleeping on them all summer, but when they bought in Decore and Allen and James Rodriguez, they all seemed to come in a period of about 2 or 3 days,
yeah.
didn't they, Everton? The mistake that I think I made was that my mindset was too fixed.
A bit closed off because
I was
so late.
Because I'd not really thought about Everton all summer, I was still thinking about whether I should have Nyland or Steer. Do you know what I mean? It was stupid. My mind was still thinking about what my team was to look like with the players that I had
yeah.
and the pool that was in my head, rather than opening my mind up to and watching Sky Sports News and thinking, well, actually, they've signed some good players
but
there.
But equally, why would you? Because they hadn't beaten a top six side. Look, haven't beaten Spurs since December, haven't beaten a top side since what? How many years did they say on the TV today? Like,
yeah, true
why
enough.
Would
yeah,
you?
True enough.
Why would you take a punt on Everton ahead of that? I think Everton are exactly the sort of club that Game Week 1 was made for, because you watch them and you look at what's going on there and you go, yes, that's the team I want to invest in,
all
and
right.
then you do.
Okay, well, listen, yeah, well, if we weren't awake before, we are now. Let's face it, we are now.
Yeah.
Super chat from Philip Blundell. Thank you, Philip. He is saying, Samini, who's impressed you most in Game Week 1? Anybody impress you most? In game week one.
What, club or player?
It's who. So let's go for player. Is there a particular player that's impressed you the most in game week one? Apart from Mo.
Apart from Mo. I actually was really impressed with Digne today.
Digne looked good. Yes,
Digne really
looked good.
I was really impressed with
Digne
today.
Yeah,
I thought he looked really good.
Willian for Arsenal, I thought just seamlessly walked into that Arsenal team and started playing like he'd been there for 4 years.
Yeah, as if he was still at Chelsea,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He walked
yeah,
in
yeah.
there as if to say, yeah, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to do me. And I was impressed by him too, yeah.
Well, look, here we go. There's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. We're over on Instagram as well. If you caught any of our Insta reactions over the weekend, let us know what you thought in the comments of our Insta reactions. Particularly my one for the Liverpool game, which we're going to start with in a second, and your one for the Spurs game.
I had to
game.
So control myself.
You were very controlled in that Insta reaction.
I was very upset.
It's a good Insta reaction. So guys, what we do with the Insta reactions is, after every game that we watch on TV, we'll go to Instagram. Normally we'll do it in here. We'll do like a 60-second selfie video, just a raw, emotional hot take on that game, effectively. And we stick it on our Insta story. So if you're not following us over on Instagram, instagram.com/FPL family, go follow Sam over there. I do the Twitter, Sam does the Instagram. So if you're bored of talking to me on Twitter, go over to Instagram, where we've got about 6,000 people following us now.
6,500
people following
us.
Gone up
by 550 people since last live stream.
There we go.
Thanks,
so thank
guys.
You if you're following us over on Instagram.
If you're still not following us, head over.
There we go. So there is the Twitter. Now, to change for team, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go to this page here. I'm going to refresh. I think the scores are refreshed anyway, but I'm going to refresh. That's game week two. That's no good. This is game week one, Sam. So I want to start with what was, frankly, as I said in my Insta reaction on Instagram, an absolutely bonkers game. 4-3, Liverpool 4, Leeds 3 at Anfield. Before I give my kind of take on it and my thoughts on both teams, actually, because I thought Leeds were very impressive, your thoughts as a relative neutral? Leeds better than you thought, or did they live up to expectations, frankly?
I actually think that Leeds... I didn't watch the whole game, but I think that Leeds, from the bits I saw, were exactly what I expected Leeds to be. They played hard, they were passionate, they
yeah.
wanted it.
Pressed the ball, very good.
They were on you all the time, and that's the kind of thing I was expecting Leeds to do.
Yeah.
I didn't expect Leeds to come up and go, oh, we've been promoted, oh, we're playing the champions, let's, you know... Like, it was always likely, I think, that Leeds were going to come out there and just give it a go. Because
yeah.
that's the sort of club Leeds are. What surprised me is how sloppy Liverpool were at the back.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they haven't had pre-season together because Trent's not played. But this is the same back five.
Oh, you say that. These players have had plenty of... I think you're making excuses for them.
Well,
these
no,
guys,
that's what I mean.
These guys have had a pretty decent pre-season together.
Just that
given
Trent
that we knocked out
there.
Of Europe, we didn't have
yeah.
to travel to Lisbon in the Champions League. These guys have had plenty of work. Trent's been injured, all right,
yeah.
fair enough.
So
but the other three are fine.
Well, this is the thing. So, like, it's the same five, if you include Alisson, who have been playing together for 2 or 3 years now. Solidly. What on earth? I mean, I know that it's the opening day of the season and you do like to concede on the opening day of the season, but three?
Yeah, well, this happened at the beginning of last season, if you remember. We conceded a lot of sloppy goals. Yeah. Even in that, we beat Norwich 4-1 opening day of last season. And up until half-time, it was 4-0 at half-time. I think Hanley got an own goal. Salah got off the mark. Can't even remember who else scored. You guys will be able to tell me. So then at sort of half-time, you're thinking, all right, well, let's just see it out. It's 4-0. Maybe we'll do 5 or 6 and get our season off to a cracking start. And Norwich won the second half 1-0.
They did.
I think Pukki got a pretty good goal. And I remember thinking, it was sloppy.
Yeah.
And in that same game, Alisson got injured, which led to Adrian coming in for a few weeks. That led to jitters in the back line. Ings nicking in game week 2 against Southampton.
Ooh.
And so it just continued. And that sort of nervousness carried on for weeks and weeks throughout that back line, and it wasn't good. And I thought I did double up on Liverpool at the beginning of last season, and I quickly undid that and just went straight to Trent because I could see that it just wasn't quite right, something back there, and the goalkeeper worried me.
Yeah.
Now, at the weekend, Leeds did play very well, given their due, and I'll talk about Harrison in a minute, who I thought was fantastic. I thought the young lad Phillips, who made his debut for England before he'd even played in the Premier League, was superb. I thought Bamford took his goal very well. But the Liverpool defence were complacent. They were overconfident. And Van Dijk's mistake was very unlike Van Dijk, but that's what you get if you're complacent and you're overconfident. Just before you chip in, we've had a couple of super chats, which I'm just going to go to the live chat and talk to. So we've had FPL tips. Thank you, Harry,
for
the super chat. Really appreciate it. Good evening, both. Great to have FPL back and you chatting on a Sunday night. Question: how do we choose from Salah, KDB, Aubameyang, Chelsea and United? That is the question right now. That is the question right now. I think so many people were starting with Salah with a view to taking him out for Man City. And it's just, well, you'd be mad to take Salah out right now. Mm-hmm. I think as we go, difficult to answer that question, Harry, I think in isolation. I think as we go through the stream and we start to talk about those different players and those teams, and in particular as we get towards the end and we talk about our teams and how we're going to adapt to City and United coming back, I think we'll answer that question as we go along, don't you?
I think
the answer to the question is it's very difficult to.
I think my view very briefly, and I'll obviously, as Lee says, when we get to the team at the end, I'll kind of elaborate on it. But my view is that you just have to make peace with the fact that you can't own them all. And you have to own the ones that you think are right. And you have to be loyal. Because if you start jumping around and switching Salah and Mane, KDB and Sterling, Aubameyang and all of them, you'll miss points holes.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, I think you're right. Another super chat from Keza. Thank you, Kieran. He is saying, Sam needs more emoticons in her Insta reactions. So can we have a few more?
But do you want to do that, Mourinho?
He loves an emoji, does Keza. So we need to get more emojis in the Insta reaction. There we go. A bit of feedback for the Insta reactions. Thank you, Kieran.
I'll try and get some in tomorrow.
Superb. So let's go back to the game. Liverpool 4, Leeds 3. Yes, I think everything we've both said about the Liverpool defence is right. But attacking-wise, Liverpool looked bang on it, right? And if you had, what's that, a fly?
I'm just being attacked.
Good catch. Very good. All right. Bit of an intruder here.
I'm sorry.
Liverpool, from attacking perspective, looked pretty good, right? I thought Salah was absolutely bang on it. Firmino was okay.
Firmino was doing Firmino things.
He did fine. I mean, Mane did fine as well. I think both of those guys did as well as you could expect on game week 1 without having too much dynamism. Henderson back made a big difference. Keita played okay. But it was the Mo Salah show, wasn't it? And if you've not got him, if you're a Salah non-owner, that is a problem now, isn't it? Would you want to immediately get him in, or would you sort of wait until after Chelsea?
Depends, doesn't it? So if you don't own a Liverpool attacker, if you're Kunkaram and you own all three defenders, that would worry me.
Is Karam on three Liverpool defenders?
Yeah. And that will
Karam's in tonight. Karam, get in the chat. I'd love to know what you're doing about that.
Okay, so now he's kind of sort of got away with it because Van Dijk scored and Robbo's got an assist.
True.
He's sort of got away with it. And you do get that upside from the Liverpool defenders. So there is always a valid strategy of having Liverpool defence and all of that malarkey. But I genuinely believe, of all of the assets, and this sort of goes back to what Harry was saying, that Salah is the one that you have to have for the entirety of the season.
Yeah.
He is the only player, bar Trent, who I can see myself owning for every single game week of the season because he has that in his locker. He's on penalties. He could just go rioting in a game.
The penalties really stood out for me as well this weekend.
It's massive.
I mean, if you look at
Vardy.
Well, come to Vardy in a minute. Absolutely anonymous in that game and got 13 points.
Yeah.
Aubameyang got the goal, didn't he? Not a penalty. There was somebody else got a penalty, I'm absolutely sure of it. I can't think. But anyway, the penalties are absolutely going to be a thing this season. And that's, again, swaying me a little bit back towards Bruno rather than Rashford, which maybe we'll talk about a bit later on in the stream. But I think if you haven't got Salah,
it's a problem.
He looked bang on it. That was the thing for me. Put the penalties to one side. I mean, he took the second goal, fantastic, on his left foot, just smashed it in the top corner.
Confidence in the man.
But he looked bang on it.
And I think, and I said this on the FPL show, Mane, look, I will not ever deny that Mane is a fantastic player. He is. But he isn't Salah. And he's not on penalties. And that is massive.
If Mane was 11 million, there's
it's
a conversation.
Different. Yeah. They're the same price and Salah's got pens. It's not a competition anymore.
Yeah.
It's just not a thing.
Now tell me about this. So Salah has now got, so Liverpool have now got the next four fixtures coming up. Three of them are away from home.
Yeah.
And the second of those four, so it's Chelsea away next, then it's home to Arsenal, I believe.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of tricky looking away games. Salah's stats and Salah's performances tend to not be as good away from home. He is far better at home.
Yeah.
Which, at home to Leeds on the opening weekend, makes you wonder why the whole world didn't captain him, right? But pre-season form and all that. So three out of the next four away from home. Is that a concern as a Salah owner?
No.
It's not for me anymore. Had he got the one, say you've got one penalty against Leeds, that might give me a bit of cause for concern. But
look
the way
him.
He played
look at him.
Against Leeds.
You've just got to look at him. Even if he'd scored no points, even if he'd not got those pens, honestly, look at him. Look at the confidence that he oozed during that game. He could have got more than he did.
So the thumbnail says Salah essential.
Yes.
You think he is?
Yes.
A lot of people disagree with you. There's a lot of Manchester United and Manchester City players that people are going to bring in for Salah, I think, still.
Well, good on you, because that means I've got Salah. And that makes Salah a differential, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I think he was bang on. I think elsewhere in the Liverpool team, you're right in what you said before. I don't know whether you said it, or actually might have read it in the chat, actually. Trent was off it. No doubt Trent was off it.
Yeah, okay, so let's just talk about Trent, because there's going to be a lot of people going... Not me, but there's going to be a lot of people out there going, well, Robbo got an assist and Van Dijk got a goal, and I can save a million on Van Dijk and I can save 0.5 on Robbo. In my mind, that doesn't compute because Trent is Trent and I'm going to keep him. But is there any valid strategy in saving some money there, do you think?
No, I think you hold him. I think we've spent the whole summer saying how essential he is. If you go cast your mind back to the Leeds, the Leicester City 24-pointer that he got last season, we've got a defender here that is well capable of double-digit hauls. Now, he had an off day. No doubt he had an off day. But then all of the defence had an off day. And if I was on the double up or if I was Kunkram on the treble up, that would give me cause for concern. Yeah. Given that I'm on only Trent, I think I'm happy just to stay on only Trent. I'm not in any way thinking about getting Robbo now, despite the assist. But with Trent... was injured for a long time. The ankle was giving him a problem over the summer.
Yeah.
He then went away to the Nations League. He played with England and he was pretty average there, although England were pretty average full stop. He's come back, had no pre-season and just had to be like, right, you've got to get on in this game and just
do it.
And it
was high tempo.
Against a high tempo, high intensity. That was the thing about Leeds. We'll talk about them in a second. High intensity Leeds side. They matched us for intensity. Not many teams do that.
They were gutsy.
Never mind teams that come up from the Championship.
And unlucky, actually, not to get something out of that
game. And I thought Trent struggled with the intensity of the game. Now, will Trent struggle in 2 or 3 weeks? No. He'd be fine.
No. The difficulty is that he's got Chelsea and Arsenal in the next two.
Chelsea and Arsenal in the next two is right. Yeah. They are not easy games. But I think he's got it's Trent. He's got the potential to get something going forward as well. If I had double or treble up against those, coming up against those next two, that'd be a concern for me.
Yeah.
That'd be a concern. Let's talk about Leeds then, because plenty of good performances from Leeds. The way that Harrison, I knew very little about, and shame on me, I should have done more research on Leeds over the summer. But the way he and Phillips get the balls and they were pinging those diagonals into like Helder Costa and across to Bamford. Very, very impressive. But as you said before, I think the key word was intensity. Put all the individual performances to one side for a second. As a team, bloody hell, Bielsa's got them drilled, hasn't he? He gets a lot out of those guys. They're intense. And I think in the end, when the Liverpool fourth goal went in, you could feel it coming a little bit with that fourth goal. You felt like there was a penalty or a chance was
coming.
At 3-3, I did feel still that we could win the game because I felt like we had a goal in us. And I just felt like Leeds' fitness was just starting to drop off. But if they can keep that intensity for this season, which is going to be a tough ask, they're going to be all right, aren't they?
I think they'll stay up. I think
saw more from them than half the sides in the Premier League this season.
Saw more from them than you did from Spurs today.
Sure.
I think from a Leeds point of view, my one concern, and it was the one concern I had going throughout the pre-season, is that it was Liverpool to start. Everybody who's anybody can turn up for an opening game match against the champions when you're newly promoted.
Yeah.
All of them. If it had been West Brom, if it had been Fulham, they'd have been up for a trip to Anfield because everybody wants to go and beat the champions. There's no hard part about that. It's easy to get up for that first game. Now, what will be interesting for me is whether Fulham can replicate that in game weeks 2 and 3. They look like they've got the personnel to do it. The players started really well. Let's see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting,
isn't
it?
It's going to be tough as well because they've got, obviously, a League Cup to play before the next round of fixtures. So that's going to affect people's, you know, pre-season fitness and all of that.
All right. But the chat is saying you've missed 3 Super Chats, Lee.
You've
missed 3 Super Chats. Here's one from Clarky Complaints. Hey, Clarky, how are we doing? Harrison got a golden assist last time versus Fulham. Yeah, Fulham at home next up for Leeds. That's the key thing. That is the key
thing.
And
they know each other.
They know each other. It'd be interesting to see how Leeds feel about that. Going into Liverpool was a bit of a free hit, wasn't it? It was a bit like a... No one's expects us to win, let's just go do it. Whereas Fulham at home is a bit like...
It's the same for Fulham. Yeah, no one would have expected Fulham to beat Arsenal.
At home, maybe they're hoping to get a point. I don't know. But Leeds-Fulham is going to be a very interesting game. I agree with you. But then the fixtures after that for them are Sheffield United, Man City and Wolves. So it doesn't get any easier after that Fulham game, I must admit. Let's see where else these... Goodness me, I'm having to scroll up a lot here. Did I really miss 3 Super Chats, guys?
Goodness me.
Oh, did I? Sam Grimes, I've currently got Trent and Virgil, stick or sell. Got both of those two?
See, I don't...
I'd be tempted to stick for now, I think.
I think I'd more likely stick with Van Dijk than I would with Robertson, just because Van Dijk is a bit cheaper anyway.
So. All right, let's see. Son out, Bruno in, Daniel Henkel says.
That's my transfer this week.
Son out, Bruno in. That's going to be your transfer.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. There we go. So, yes, we're rubber stamping that one, Daniel. All right, there we go. Let's move on. Should we move on from Leeds? I do want to talk very, very quickly, Dallas or Ayling.
Go on then.
Both of those guys played against Liverpool, and we spent a lot of the summer talking about which one of those would be the best. Dallas got the assist.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I'm very impressed with Luke Ayling on that side.
Is he the captain?
He wore the captain's armband yesterday. Got up and down nicely. Strong player. Like the look of him. I don't know what I'm saying now, but then I'm struggling still to pick between the two. But I think I'm just edging towards Ayling, actually.
But that's what we wanted, wasn't it? That's why we wanted to wait on Dallas and Ayling, because it was too hard to call pre-season.
Yeah.
So, and I think with the Liverpool game, we've got an insight. Against Fulham, we'll get an even bigger understanding of which one of them is better.
I think you're right. Let's go to the next fixture then. Let's see. Let's talk about the game that kicked off the Premier League season. Oh, Fulham 0,
I thought you were coming
Arsenal
to me and
3.
I was about to cry.
We will talk about Spurs after this one, I think.
Let's not bother.
Let's do Fulham 0, Arsenal 3. Amidst all of the craziness that we had with the Mitrovic benching at the beginning, which
was Saka as well. We shouldn't forget about that.
Saka and Nketiah as well benched. Absolutely. But then Arsenal going with Lacazette up top. Now, we've spent all summer talking about how Nketiah could be an option. A Lacazette's surely going to get sold to Aubameyang. Will go down the middle, and now he's a midfielder. That's going to make him like an absolute premium FPL asset. Well, listen, Aubameyang got the goal, but Lacazette looked really dangerous in that middle there. What we said, and when he came off, by the way, he subbed Lacazette off.
Yeah.
Big high five, big smile, big hug between him and Arteta. Didn't to me look like Lacazette was going to leave the club anytime soon.
Didn't to me either. And I think, you know, if you'd have said to me on Friday night, Lacazette is going to score the opening goal of the 2021 season, I'd have gone mad.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I watched it, and I watched Lacazette, and I thought, this isn't a player who don't want to play for this club anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I saw him come off the pitch, and I don't know if I should call it chemistry, but the relationship between Arteta and Lacazette definitely is not a broken one.
No.
It's great. Definitely not broken. There was a real affection in the hug and in the smiles and in the conversation that they were having. And it put a doubt in my mind, I've got to be honest, because Aubameyang's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And my thinking was, I'm going to get through game weeks 1 and 2 and they've got these nice fixtures and I'm going to want to hold him, and that's going to be an issue because he's going to have scored really highly. But Lacazette playing, and it looked to me on that game, and I'm watching again in game week 2, obviously, because it's a nice fixture again. If Lacazette's going to play every week alongside Aubameyang, I actually think that makes Aubameyang a little bit less of a £12 million asset.
Dear.
Yeah.
even though he's out left, it doesn't seem to affect him.
No.
And he's on penalties. But he gets goals. He cuts in. He's now got more creativity around him. Look at Willian, as we said at the top
William's
of the show.
Great.
Slotted into that team like he'd played there all his life.
Yeah.
And Danny Ceballos, that there you saw exactly why Arteta wanted to get Ceballos back. The creativity from that guy. All right, he ain't great at tracking back. I get that. He ain't great at tracking back. But he gives them something at the front end of the pitch. And against the Fulham side, where frankly you don't need to track back that much, particularly with no Mitrovic.
No.
Stick him in there.
But as Harry said in his super chat earlier, you can't have all of these 12 million, 11 million and a half assets and afford to have. So you can't have Salah and Aubameyang and afford KDB or Sterling and afford Bruno or Rashford and afford Werner or Havertz or Pulisic or Ziyech.
What's that even worse than what you said last week? Ziyech.
I tell you what, it's a good job he's out for a couple of weeks so I can learn how to speak his name.
Ziyech? He was the chunky guy in Street Fighter, wasn't he? Ziyech?
The what now?
I don't know. Who the hell is Ziyech?
What the hell is Street Fighter?
Zangief. No, sorry, Zangief.
What?
We've gone off on a tangent.
Let's get back to what I was saying. So you can't have all of these assets. And I'm watching this Arsenal game as an Aubameyang owner thinking, Willian's a hell of a lot cheaper. Is Willian going to play like this every week? He did for Chelsea. And okay, he's not on penalties, we don't think, for Arsenal. But if he's going to continue the form he had at Chelsea in Project Restart into Arsenal now and continue it, then he's a really viable asset. And that means I don't have to spend 12 million on Aubameyang and instead I can have KDB, who I really want.
Well, interesting. Azzy is saying that exact question in the live chat right now. Hey, Azzy, he's saying, can Willian keep up with Aubameyang that will then afford us to get the likes of KDB and Salah? Can he keep up with
Aubameyang? Does he need to? That's my question back to you. Because I don't think he does. Because if KDB keeps up with Aubameyang, Willian just has to keep ticking over.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're up. So this is what I was trying to get to with Harry earlier, and probably not very well, is that you can't own all the premiums, but what you can do is work out whether there's an asset from within that premium's club who's going to afford you some points as well. Now with Arsenal, if Willian does this again in game week 2, then I think we've got the perfect option, because Aubameyang can become KDB and you can have Willian as well. Now, and then you're covered. But with Man City, there's no way that I can see yet of covering KDB, because I don't think that Mahrez and Bernardo Silva, etc., are going to get the game time that Willian is going to get.
Okay, well, listen, Willian was on free kicks. I think there'll be some absolute scenes if Arsenal get a penalty in game week 2 and he takes it. That's all I'm saying. I'm expecting Aubameyang on penalties, but you never know.
Stranger things have happened.
He was pretty good at penalties, Willian, at Chelsea.
Stranger things have happened.
If he is on penalties, there will be a seismic shift in our Arsenal assets. I do want to give a shout out to some more Arsenal assets. I thought Kieran Tierney was fantastic.
And Gabriel.
Gabriel got the headlines because he got the header and it's his first game. And yes, he does look like a very good addition to the Arsenal back line. Strength, leadership, doggedness, aggression, but controlled aggression looked really good. But Kieran Tierney, I thought, was different for lots of other reasons. He reminded me of Laporte for Man City. No, he did, because the way that Laporte is so important for Man City in terms of that transition, I talk about it all the time, transition through the lines. And without Laporte last season, that's why they lost the league, frankly. That's why they bought Ake. That transition through the lines from left back with a left footer is so important. And Tierney, I thought, provided that transition through the midfield fantastically for Arsenal the weekend.
I agree with everything you've just said. We'll just give you a but. It was a very bad attacking Fulham side.
Yeah, I get that, but I'm not talking about Tierney from a defensive perspective. No, I'm saying how they move through the lines.
But from an FPL perspective, the reason you don't Tierney is from a defensive point of view, isn't it? Because
he goes forward, he gets attacking points.
There might be some attacking upside, but fundamentally, you own a defender in the game for their clean sheets. So you own Trent because he's got clean sheets written in his, well, in theory.
Yeah.
He's got clean sheets and there's some attacking output. You would not own Tierney just because he might get a goal or an assist every now and then. You are going to own a player in defence because you hope that there's going to be some clean sheets there. That's the fundamental reason why you choose them. Now, Arsenal to me yesterday were good defensively. What has come over me?
No, they didn't need to be.
But they didn't need to be anything other than what they were.
Do you not think they're going to improve this season?
What, defensively?
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll find out, won't we? Because
I think they're massively. I think they have massively improved and will massively improve with the quality they've got.
So I think next week against West Ham, we should see another good defensive performance from Arsenal, because I saw absolutely nothing from West Ham. But then it's Liverpool. And I think that will be a really nice test of how Arsenal are defensively. When we get to game week three and we have that Liverpool match, that'll be a good test for how they stand up. Now, I don't expect them to keep a clean sheet, and that doesn't really matter. It's just how they deal with those attacking players, and that'll be a test of whether they're worth our FPL pounds.
Okay, well, listen, I think you're not going to like it, but I think Arsenal are right in the... They're in the game this season. I think they're fantastic. I really like the manager and what he's doing
there. They have just played Fulham.
Yes, yes. But listen, this is not just come out... I'm not just thinking this because of what I saw yesterday. You look at FA Cup, Community Shield, they're winning trophies. They've got a winning mentality now.
I don't disagree with you.
The manager's instilling this totally different mentality. If you think back to Arsenal a couple of years ago, it was all, you know, woe is me, and, you know, is the manager doing the right thing? And everyone sort of moped about.
Two losses and that happens again, guaranteed.
No. I totally disagree. Arteta has got that club going in totally the right direction.
Well, let's see. Because
they're
all
smiles. Look at Lacazette.
No, I'm not talking about the attacking players. From an attacking point of view, I don't disagree with you. What I'm saying is, I'm yet to be convinced that the Arsenal defence looks better, but they're going to against a Fulham side with no Mitrovic, who have no attacking power.
Okay, all right. Well,
Next week against West Ham, they're going to look good again.
All right.
The week after, let's see if the defence still looks good. If they do, then 100% you buy them and you invest in the back line. But until I see them against a proper club, sorry Fulham fans, but until I see them against an established Premier League side with good attacking potential, I won't invest in the Arsenal defence.
All right, well, look, it's West Ham up next, like you say, then Liverpool, Sheffield United at home, who lack a bit of firepower, let's face it, unless they've got Brewster at that stage. Then they go away to the Etihad, then at home to Leicester, Arsenal. So the fixtures ain't looking too great on paper.
Bit mixed, aren't they?
Ain't looking too great on paper. So from that perspective, I think I'm with you in terms of let's maybe hold on their defensive assets.
Yeah.
But I think over
attacking
the course of
wise,
the season,
sure.
I think we're going to see that they have really turned a corner, Arsenal. And I know you don't like it, but I think they're really, really on one this season. I think they've got a fantastic side. Let's move on. A quick word about Fulham then. How bad are Fulham?
Don't invest in Fulham.
We're talking about having a look at defences. Bit all over the place.
Don't
but
invest in Fulham.
I don't feel like we learned anything about Fulham that we didn't already know.
No, and I also don't... So having said don't invest in Fulham, it's difficult because obviously Mitrovic, we only saw him for like half an hour.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. I won't panic on him if you own him. Keep him for another game. We can see what happens at the end of that because the fixtures are nice for Fulham.
Leeds, Villa, Wolves, Sheffield United and then Crystal Palace. So the fixtures aren't too bad.
There's
a lot of away games in there. But listen, that's my iPad giving me a Sky Sports News update.
What's happened on Sky Sports News, everybody?
Something's happened. Bruce has got his loan move. Everybody go and transfer him in. Let's go and talk about Spurs then. And we're already at, I don't know what the time is, we're at sort of 47 minutes on the stream. So we can't talk for too long. Yeah, we've been rabbiting on. We spent loads of time on Liverpool. Spurs 0, Everton 1. Go on then.
No, I don't have anything to say.
You don't have anything to say?
No.
What do you mean you don't have anything to say? You must have something to say. What about Everton?
I have loads of things to say. Oh, all right, let's talk about Everton. great, so...
I was dreading this moment, guys.
From a Spurs point of view... No, let's not talk about Spurs for a minute. From an Everton point of view, I think... Dinya really impressed me.
Yep.
Really,
three
really
bonus points today.
Did he?
Yep.
He really impressed me. I thought he was...
Did he really impress you?
Yeah. He was really solid defensively. He was good attacking-wise. He was getting into all the right areas, winning a lot of corners. Everything he did, there was nothing kind of not to like about it, apart from other Spurs' point of view. But from an FPL point of view, I was watching him thinking, this is the Dinya that, two seasons ago, it just was set and forget in my team.
Yeah.
And it was him again. It wasn't the sort of weird Dinya that I had for a long period of time last year that you were kind of been like, what's going on at Everton?
Do you know what was interesting for me is he's got a former Galactico on the pitch now in James Rodriguez, who we know can take a decent free kick. Yeah, Dinya's there pulling rank saying, no, still me.
Yeah, still
whether
me.
That remains to be the case
no,
over
maybe,
the following
maybe
weeks. But listen, he whipped in a great one today. So.
And I was really impressed by him. And I was looking at, you know, when you're looking at defences, and part of the reason for picking a 5 million defender in my team for game week one was that I'd have some flexibility for when a player impressed me. And he, of all of them, really impressed me. Of all the defences I've watched,
yeah, okay,
it was him. From an attacking point of view, Rodriguez was impressive, but I kind of felt like we let him be impressive. Like, I felt we didn't attack him, we didn't close him down. And if we'd have done that, I don't think he'd have been nearly as impressive as he was. I think if you're on him, and in the same way that, like, the Liverpool defence will be, or in fact, pretty much any other defence in the league will be, I don't think he would have impressed quite as much as he did.
He did give him a bit of time and space. He was the most creative player on the park today. I think five chances created. So
I think he was good, but I think a lot of that was because we allowed that to be a thing. Like, we were walking around a lot. I mean, what's all that about? But I think Everton were impressive, but Richarlison I can't get on board with.
He could have had a couple of goals today.
Yeah, but he didn't because he's awful.
You really hate Richarlison.
He's awful. He's genuinely awful.
All right, so rather than talking about awful players, who else impressed you from an Everton perspective? Talk to me about their brand new midfield, Alan and Doucouré, who I think is a great pickup, by the way. Doucouré.
Yeah, yeah. But he was great.
They just gave, you know, winning the ball back, control, calm in the middle of the park, which they just haven't had for so long, Everton.
And I think what was impressive about that was that they're new to each other. Like, they played like a team that had played together for 6 months, a year. Like, they didn't appear to be a team that had played together for 2 weeks. Like, they knew where each other were going to be. They were sending the ball in all the right areas. They were really on it today, and they were really organised. I was really impressed with Everton, apart from Richarlison. The rest of them I was really impressed with. Even Dominic Calvert-Lewin, actually, I thought I had a really good game.
Even Dominic Calvert-Lewin. He was one of the best players on the park, I thought. The way his hold-up play, looks like he's got stronger over the summer, winning bullet headers, being coached by Duncan Ferguson. He's got a bit of pace as well. I think he's got the lot, DCL.
Okay.
7 million in FPL? You can't say you're not tempted by that. Anyone that had the foresight to bring him in pre-season, I think it was a great shout. Well, obviously it is a great shout. Look at what he got today.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I was going to spend 7, there are... I mean, Callum Wilson is 6.5 and I thought he looked great as well. So I think there's a few in that price bracket you could arguably say...
It's still early days, I get that. It's still early days. Although I will say that new look midfield behind Dominic Calvert-Lewin... It looks great for him. It's all there for him.
Yeah.
They've got Alan and Doucouré pulling the strings. They've got Rodriguez and all of the creativity around him. And he's got Richarlison buzzing around, you know, pulling defenders apart and creating space for him.
Because
I know you're digging out Richarlison.
But he was awful.
He missed a couple, right? The one he missed in the first half was a bad one.
Lovely.
But listen, the guy got about it. He got amongst it. You can't fault his work rate and he's trying.
But forget about him as a footballer. He's not an FPL asset. He isn't.
Well, not on today's evidence, but you never know.
Well, okay, well, let's see. But he hasn't been for the last year, in my opinion.
Okay, well, let's talk about Spurs then. So you've got Son and you've got Kane in your team. How are we feeling about that going forward? Is this a don't panic or is it a panic?
No, it's not. I mean, I said at the beginning that Son was always going to be a United player. That was always the plan. So game week 2, I won't have Son.
Son didn't look too bad in the first half.
No, Son didn't look too bad. He didn't. And he didn't look too bad in the second half. And he was taking on the
whole
corners.
To be honest with you, the whole team didn't look too... It weren't great, but it didn't look too bad in the first... I don't know what happened at half-time. What happened at half-time? Because the first half was fine. It wasn't amazing, but it was fine. He drags off Dele Alli for tactical reasons. And you come out, and it was just turgid, wasn't it? It was turgid. Bringing off Dele Alli for Sissoko, that to me, if you had a crowd in that stadium, they'd have been booing that. Because that is such a statement of intent about what we want to do here. We want to slow this game down. We want to control it. We want to make sure they don't get on the ball. Rather than have Ali up there buzzing around Son and Kane and have being more attacking it. It just felt really negative, that substitution. I think that negativity went through the team.
I don't know. I don't think we were that great in the first half. I think we were okay in the first half. I think we were slow and lethargic for pretty much all the game.
Yeah.
I think there was a lack of urgency about Spurs throughout the whole game. I think there was a lack of understanding within them, which is bonkers because the fundamentals of that side have not changed. There's Højbjerg now. And there's Doherty, but otherwise they're the same players. They're not.
Thoughts on Doherty's performance, his debut?
So I thought Doherty had an all right game. I think he looked knackered when he came off. He just looked like he'd run out.
Yeah.
But I think in part that was because he sort of forgot to defend for a lot of the game. He just was constantly... like, it was almost like he decided to play up alongside Kane and Ali. It was like, well, Doherty, what are you doing? Because
he did get forward a hell of a lot, and I must say. Before the Spurs performance dropped off in the second half, I was looking at Doherty thinking, flipping it. This guy, there's forward and there's forward.
And I like that. But equally, I think one of the things that I loved about Doherty when he was a Wolves player was that he would be a defender primarily, and then he'd go on these runs. And he wouldn't always go on them, but when he did, they came to something. And I felt almost that Mourinho had said to him today, just go, whenever you want.
I think it was too much
because he was then knackered because he was going up and down the wing every 2 seconds and he wasn't getting back and we weren't covering at the back.
Well, as Chris is saying in the live chat, that's the problem. Doherty still can't play in a back four, and I agree with you on that. I'm not sure this concept of having Davies coming in and him going, and it's sort of, I think it's Toby Alderweireld on that side, isn't it? Gets dragged out and it just leaves this space in the middle where Dyer just looks like he's like, oh, it's just like, what do I do? If you go, and Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison did give him a hard time today, but you're going to come up against better players than those two. And you've got Eric Dyer in. It just doesn't feel right to me. Super chat from Moha. Thank you, Moha, for the super chat. He's saying, Harry Kane, keep or sell. If sell, then maybe Kane to Vardy and save 0.5. Also, I've got Tyrick Mitchell at 4 million. Is he essential enabler now? A word on him when we get to Crystal Palace. Kane to Vardy feels a little bit like, I've watched this weekend and that's what I want to do.
It does, because
Vardy weren't good, by the way. We'll talk about him in a second.
No, and I think actually there was a clear-cut opportunity for Kane right at the end of the first half, and he was furious with Son for playing Ali in instead of Kane. What all that was about, I mean, maybe Son captained Ali in his fantasy team or something ridiculous, because it was the worst decision ever. And that would easily have been a 1-0 Spurs.
Yeah.
And it would close the game, because that's what Mourinho does. But I think for me, if you get rid of Kane now, it's impulse. It's an impulse decision. I saw nothing from Vardy. He had no shots on target.
Didn't apart see a lot from two Kane penalties. Either, though.
No, but Spurs, the fixtures are nice, and I feel like we are gonna have to react against Southampton next week. We have to. There has to be a pickup, because otherwise, like you said before, if there were fans in that stadium, the toxic atmosphere would have been intense, and it will be. There will be some bounce. Yes, you can go to Vardy. I think you probably prefer to go to Werner, to be honest, after you've watched him tomorrow night. But it feels a little bit, I've watched one game and I'm going to make a decision, and you could easily get burnt by that next week.
Let's talk about Vardy. Let's talk about the Foxes briefly, Sam, because we've spent an hour already and we've got so much to go through. We'll be sharing our scores and our thoughts on next game week as well in a second. But West Brom 0, Leicester 3. I thought in the end West Brom just ran out of legs a little bit. The first half, I think they largely matched
Leicester. They did well.
And the second half, they just ran out of legs a little bit, in my opinion. I thought the new boy, Castagna, if that's how you say his name, took his goal very, very well. In what was, frankly, a bit of a non-event from an FPL perspective, because it was a Pratt cross to Castagna, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we're all sitting there going, so what?
What was the point?
But then Vardy popped up with what can only be described as a smash and grab 13 points. Now, if you're investing, what is it, 10 million in Jamie Vardy,
yeah,
one of the things you get with Jamie Vardy is penalties. And if they get penalties, he's going to take him. So
that's
if any of you, if you've got him, fair play. I'm not, you know, can't get angry about that. That's what you're going to get with a 10 million uh-huh. player. But listen, his performance weren't good. And I've just seen a statistic in the live chat, and I think I saw this on Twitter before. No touches in the box.
No, for
Vardy up until the penalties. No shots on target up until the penalties.
Yeah.
Possibly even no shots on goal up until the penalties.
That's right.
So the performance and the underlying stats from Vardy didn't look good, yet here we are, and he's got 13 points. So what do we say?
And I think if you're going to... I think for me, and I said this pre-season and I still stand by it, I don't see the value in Jamie Vardy at 10 million, because whilst he can do that and he does have penalties in his locker, I don't yet see the connectivity and the motion through Leicester that he needs to be on that purple patch.
Do you think James Maddison will give him that?
Because we saw Maddison come on, so it will come. But Maddison's got to get match fit and all of that, and I think give it 3 or 4 game weeks time and my view on Jamie Vardy will probably be quite different.
Okay, very good. A couple of super chats coming in. Let's just have a look at these. So thank you, Nihal, for another super chat. I'm sensing a fallout with Ali at half time. Well,
probably.
Maybe.
Probably called them all names.
One of the things that Mourinho did say in his post-match interview was that he was very happy that there weren't any Amazon cameras anymore. So what we can say between us stays between us. I don't know if you noticed that comment. So maybe there was something said there that he's very happy that the cameras weren't there to capture, you know? I don't know. Rahul, thank you for the super chat. Before the season started, you guys were pro-Saints and advised to stay away from Leicester. Still feel the same? I do. Yes, I do. I don't feel like, despite the 3-0 win of Leicester today, just to go back to the game, I don't really feel like I want to jump on any Leicester assets. I think West Brom matched them, and if it weren't for fitness and maybe a couple of penalty calls, I mean, the second penalty where James Justin gets the foul, and if you've got James Justin, fair play to you. I think he's a nice pick. A lot of people have had him. That was just a tired challenge from the West Brom defender. It's just really not sloppy. He was just tired. James Justin just got to the ball before him, right? So it was poor decision making. Nothing in that Leicester performance today. He said to me, bang, I've got to go and get Leicester. And if you look at the fixtures coming out, they've got Burnley at home next. We haven't seen Burnley yet, so who knows? That will be Burnley's first game. Then they go to the Etihad. Very difficult. Home games against West Ham and Villa look all right, and then away to Arsenal. So maybe game week 4 and 5 might be okay.
And that
but
will cut time in with Maddison being back, proper, which, fitness-wise.
Well, possibly. I mean, Maddison was back
a
few minutes today, didn't he?
And that's my point, is that he was back today, and actually they did look better when he came on, but I think give him a couple of games to get match fit, and we might see something different.
Yeah, 9-pointer from James Justin. What are you guys talking about him in the live chat? I do like him. Good performance today. Listen, West Brom rarely threatened on the goal, is the reality. So is he going to get some clean sheets? Yeah. Does he get forward? Yes. I think he looks all right. Question mark over whether Ricardo Pereira comes back. What happens as he shift to the left? So keep an eye on that, maybe. But yeah, I think he's an all right pick for 4-5.
From a Southampton point of view, because that was the other part of that question, I think they...
Let's go to those guys.
For me, I think they massively miss Højbjerg. I thought that that kind of protection of the back four wasn't there this weekend. Now, in part, that's probably because, you know, they're getting used to playing without a man that was fundamental to their structure and was their captain. Now, I thought they were also missing Armstrong, of course, because he was injured and he was a big part of why they work so well. But I still think Southampton are a good side, and I think they will come good. I own three of them. Do I want to own three? Well, no, probably not, but I wanted rotating keepers, and Carl Walker-Peters was a good option, although nearly got sent off.
God, that was close, wasn't it? Thank goodness for VAR this weekend, because Trent's own goal as well was a bit of a stinker, wasn't it?
Honestly, what would have happened? If that had... Oh, dear, disasters.
So just my opinion on Saints, just where you say that, is different, actually. I guess they do miss Højbjerg and his leadership and his grit potentially in the middle there, but I think Ward-Prowse is an able deputy. I think the challenge they had was they played a very high line, Saints, a very high line against Crystal Palace, which is a dangerous game because you know what you're going to get with Zaha. Even Townsend is reasonably rapid. Jordan Ayew's no slouch, is he? He's not. He's reasonably rapid, but Zaha's the one to keep an eye on from a pace perspective.
Yes.
And they played a high line. Now, if you're going to play a high line, you need defenders that if the forward curves his run or manages to beat the offside trap, then you need defenders that can get back. Liverpool play a high line, but that's because Gomez and Van Dijk are quick, right? That's why, you know, when Spurs play other teams and Sanchez plays, he's the quickest. So that's why certain times he plays. Vestergaard ain't quick.
No.
He's big, he's tall, he's strong, and he wins headers, and at set pieces he's great, but he ain't quick, and he got caught out too often against Crystal Palace. Now, the new guy coming in, Salisu, I think is how you say his name, from what I understand, the little I know of him, he's reasonably quick.
Okay.
So can Hasenhüttl drop Vestergaard for Salisu, and do they play that high line a bit more effectively? Yes, maybe. But it properly cost them against Palace. And you're right, Saints didn't have a good game, but I will give some props to Crystal Palace. I thought tactically they were good. Hodgson had them organised, they worked hard, and I just thought they just got the job done. I thought they played well.
They were the surprise package of the weekend for me. Didn't see it coming. Honestly, I did not see Crystal Palace doing well this season, and I was like, they're going to real struggle. And I watched them and I thought they were quite impressive.
Yeah.
Zaha impressed me, Gaeta impressed me every time there was an opportunity for Danny Ings or Shea Adams, and there weren't that many, but when there were, he was there, he was dealing with them, he was commanding his back line.
Eze looks fun as well.
Eze does look good,
He looks fun. Every time they were coming forward at the end there, even though it was 1-0, and you'd think actually you'd want him to track back a bit. Yeah, he took set pieces, yeah. You're absolutely right. But there was a couple of occasions when I think Zaha or Townsend got the ball out wide, and he would bombing through the middle. He was like centre forward. And you're like, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
So, and he's pretty quick. Yeah. And we know what you're going to get with him based on what we saw with QPR in the Championship last season. 14 goals, 8 assists, I think. Listen, if this guy can start getting regular time, which let's face it, he's going to. Hodgson wouldn't have spent the money on him otherwise.
Yeah.
I think he could be a really nice little player.
I was impressed. The one thing I would say is that obviously Mitchell had a good game and kept a clean sheet, but I'm still not convinced that he's going to be there. I mean, Patrick Van Aanholt is back in training now. As soon as he's match available, he's back in
that
team.
You'd think he'd be back in.
I fear that Mitchell might have just... You might have had one brilliant week from him and then he might not play again.
All right, well, the Crystal Palace fixtures, it's United away, of course, in game week 2. Then it's Everton at home, Chelsea away. So
hard.
Ain't getting any more easy for Palace, but then it's Brighton and Fulham after that. So short term, maybe not. But I think those next 3 game weeks gives us the perfect opportunity to have a look at Eze.
Yes, I agree.
Is Zaha going to regress to the mean once the transfer window closes? We often say that about him, don't we? Is Townsend going to keep up that level of performance? Let's see.
Essay was great, though. Really
I've missed some more Super Chats, Sam. Loads
you
of
missed
Super Chats tonight. Thank you, everybody. Clarky is saying, remember when I told you both Eze is quality? You did say
you
it, Clarky.
Yeah, yeah.
You said it.
He was.
And I don't think we at any stage said we didn't think he was. We
no,
just didn't know
fit.
Enough about
and
him,
And he wasn't
I don't
fit
think.
To play the first game fully, was he?
But now I've seen him, I'm interested. Probably not with that run. With United, Everton and Chelsea. But from game week 5, Brighton at home and then Fulham. Have a look. Nahal with another super chat. Thank you very much, Nahal. I had Ings and Adams for Crystal Palace. That's going to hurt. Gaeta had some superhuman keeping skills to keep them out. He did. Saints will score
Danny
bucket loads this season. I actually agree with you, Nahal. I'm not negging too badly on Saints. I think Palace played really well. And I think once Saints get a couple of key players back, I think they'll be all right. And once those two figure out how they're going to play together, because a lot of the time, Che Adams would stay up and Ings was kind of, in a very Kane-esque way, dropping back to get involved because he was getting a bit frustrated with how things are going.
Yeah.
Because that's his character. Ings wants to make a difference, doesn't he? And he was kind of dropping back a little bit and coming into play. And when he did that, it didn't really work. That why it worked for him last season was because he was the main man up front and he didn't do that dropping. And he had to be the out ball. Now Che Adams is up there, I think Ings feels like he can drop back a bit more. Here's a good question for you. Does Che Adams make Ings less of a pick? Not going to answer it now, but I think Ings is less effective when Che Adams is on the pitch.
That's why I don't.
But let's have a look.
And they've got Spurs next, and we saw what Spurs were like today. So
quite possibly. Another super chat from Shariah. Thank you, Shariah. Hey, guys. Shah from Vancouver. How are we doing? Hello, Vancouver. Too early.
Patreon, Shah.
Oh, is he? Ah, new patron. Yeah. Oh, very good, very good. Hey, Shah, how are we doing? Is it too early, Sam, to go and get to take a 4-point hit? You've got Son and Aubameyang and thinking about switching to Rashford and Kun.
No, right, okay. No. I feel really quite strongly about the 4-point hit at the moment. Unless you have to, don't do it. We've also got
early
midweek
days,
games.
Isn't it? Early days.
What happens if someone gets injured? And Aubameyang is going to play West Ham. And did you watch West Ham? They are in trouble.
Well, just a very... And I mean quick, because we are so out of time, Sam. It's untrue. West Ham 0, Newcastle 2. I feel like I could talk a lot about this game as well. We've got so much to talk about. Let's see. West Ham. Yeah, not good.
No.
Not good. And what was even worse was that they weren't that good. And then when Callum Wilson scored, they were worse. And that, to me, says there's nothing... There's no leadership in that team. There's no one saying, do you know what? Come on. This is we need to do this, we need to get bad. And that's a worry for me. If I was a West Ham fan, that concern me. And we know what the West Ham fixtures look like over the next few weeks. They are diabolical.
Particularly, from a West Ham leadership point of view, if you can't get up for that first game at home against Newcastle, knowing what your fixtures are, you could be bottom with 10 games gone and no points, there's fundamental problems. And I saw absolutely nothing from West Ham. I thought, Newcastle? Who are they? I thought Newcastle played quite well, but I think that they were flattered by how bad West Ham were.
As Crazy Jack is saying in the live chat, though, Souček looked decent. He did.
You can't be decent by yourself.
But, yeah, that's the thing. He did, but...
No one else did.
And that's the concern, isn't it? That's the concern. Antonio put in a little bit of a shift, but...
A little bit of a shift. I think that's the point.
It just didn't feel right. Now, props to Newcastle. It's not, you know, if there's some two Nami fans in, They did play well. Callum Wilson getting off the mark with what can only be described as a typical Callum Wilson goal. Exactly what Newcastle need, by the way. That scrappy, I'm in the box, tap in sort of goal. Callum Wilson will get 10 of them this season. That's perfect for Newcastle. Almiron came on and made a difference. What did you make of St Maximin's performance? Toiled, didn't he?
I thought it was fine.
I'm not panicking about him, I don't think.
I'm not panicking, not a 5.5. If he was at 9 million, I'd be panicking. Probably.
For 5 million less, though, you can have Hendrick, who got a goal and an assist this weekend, 14-pointer. Okay. How are we feeling about him?
Right, but don't you think that this is exactly what Week 1 does? So, St Max was great during the restart. He's had one bad game and suddenly everyone's going, oh, shall I save 0.5 and go to this new boy? No, all right, the new boy did play well, but it's one game.
Like, he was playing far higher for Newcastle than he's ever played for Burnley. And he was drifting into those central areas with regularity, whereas at Burnley he'd stay wider. So I must admit, I'm not thinking of downgrading, if that's the right phrase, St Maximin to Hendrick, but he's on my watch list now,
Don't
Hendrick.
Throw the baby out with the dishwater.
What does that mean?
Because one game does not suddenly mean that St Max is a bad... And this is what I was trying to say before. One game does not make these players bad assets. Just because St Max doesn't return in that game and his teammate does, doesn't mean that you should get rid of him and jump ship to somebody else. Because if you do that all season, you'll be constantly jumping ship and spending 4 points every single week.
I feel like we learnt a lot about those two teams. And I got to the end of the game and I just thought, if I was going to invest in one of these two teams, I know where I'm investing. Well, and I'm telling you, it ain't West Ham.
I came out of it feeling really pleased that I had double Newcastle.
Yeah. Oh, you played Lascelles, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I did also sort of feel like, I wish I'd had the balls to go Lewis over Lascelles, though.
Yeah, there was a bit of a concern as to whether Lewis was going to play. But listen, got a bonus point, and I think up until a certain point, the game was on for three.
Yeah, it was.
So looked good. Whether Newcastle were going to keep tons of clean sheets, I don't think so.
But for the price tag.
But for 4.5, listen, you can't moan about that. You can't moan about that. And at Callum Wilson, 6.5, we know what he's going to do. He's going to troll you. But listen, he's a bit cheaper.
He will definitely troll me.
But a bit cheaper this season at a new club.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see a different Callum Wilson. Who knows?
He was happy though, wasn't he? He was playing with a smile on his face. Yeah. I've not seen that in Callum Wilson for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see what you guys are saying. Another super chat from Nahal saying, Emi Martinez to Villa. Looks like that's done. Would you go for him on a wild card, Sam?
It's very hard
to say. First
of
all, would you play a wild card in game week 2?
No, I wouldn't.
Nope.
But we haven't seen Villa yet. And it's very hard to say what Villa are going to be like. But I do think Martinez makes them a much stronger unit defensively because he is a quality goalkeeper.
I think so, yeah. Andrew Yee is in. He's saying, Sam, it's don't throw the baby out with the bath water, not dishwater.
Well, that's right. It is.
Why would it be in the dishwater?
You're right. Don't throw the dishes out of the dishwasher and the baby out of the bath water. It's like my other one.
Get the baby in the sink in the kitchen.
Round the twist and up the bend, but it's the other way around.
People will be calling social services. You've got the kids in the sink. Anyway, that is, I think, all the games covered. Listen, I think you're absolutely right in what you said before. We've learned
about
so
the baby
much
in
now.
The
so we've learned not to wash the baby in the sink. Thank you, Andrew. But we have learned a lot about FPL. We've learned a lot about teams. We've learned a lot. I mean, Palace, good performance. Saints, the high line, is it going to work for them? Leeds, tenacious, hard-working. Spurs, who knows what's going on over there. Leicester, lethargic, but got the win. Arsenal, you know, starting with momentum. We know a lot about West Ham, stay away.
Don't
Newcastle,
panic.
Maybe. So, but don't panic, guys. It's game week one. And to that end, let's have a look at our team. So here's my team for the weekend. Now I have Reece James, I have Matt Ryan, Timo Werner and Jimenez still to play. I'm on 42 points, which feels very, very, very average, to be honest with you guys. I think I'm about 5 over the average. I think the average is about 37.
Right.
Salah saving the game week. Let's not beat around the bush. It's Salah saving the game week. Would have liked to have captained him, of course. But to be honest with you, you know, was always on Aubameyang and said that on the FPL show last week, given the pre-season form. And listen, Aubameyang, still 7 points. He's not going to be sniffing at that, right? Still 7 points. And I said to you when he scored, it felt a bit different. Here's where the reclassification feels different.
Yeah.
Because as a forward, if he scores and gets booked, which he did, that's 5 points doubled to 10. Okay. But as a midfielder, gets the goal, clean sheet point, suddenly the 7 doubles to 14. It don't feel so bad. So the classification for Aubameyang is the gift that keeps on giving, in my opinion. But Salah saved him a game, with no doubt. Trent with a one-pointer, disappointing, obviously. Suchek and St. Maximin, was hoping for something from that game, but listen, I don't think I'm panicking too much about either of them. Ali's obviously the elephant in the room. What am I going to do about Dele Alli? I've got some thinking to do on that. With Southampton up next and then Newcastle at home, Manchester United away. The Spurs fixtures do look all right in terms of the ticker, but listen, Saints away ain't going to be easy, and Hasenhüttl's going to want them to go into that first home game. They've got to bounce back, and that high line, they can afford to play that against you because you haven't got the pace of Zaha, you haven't got the pace of like a Townsend or anything like that. Your Son is probably your quickest player.
Lucas Moura.
And Moura maybe, but Mourinho probably won't play him. I just don't get it. Newcastle at home, okay, you'd like to think you win that, but they're buoyant at the minute, Newcastle, and then you go to Old Trafford. It's not until game week 5 against West Ham at home where, come on, you'd like to think you'd win that. So I don't think I'm going to be going into game week 2 with Ali. I think I'm probably going to leave, probably going to get rid of him, I think.
Well, you've got to have a United player, surely.
Well, I probably am, but then I look at what's happening off the pitch at United, and I think sort of it feels a bit... You know, I follow quite a lot of Manchester United Twitter accounts. Yeah, who listen to Goldbridge and a few others, and the Sancho thing has stung them a little bit. They were hoping to get him. They might still get Sancho, of course, but I think it feels a little bit negative. You know, Pogba got coronavirus, didn't he? They had the Mason Greenwood thing, they're away with England. So
Rashford's not fully fit.
Rashford, is he fit? Is he not? So I'm not kind of... And also, I saw enough from Palace in that first game week to suggest that, you know, United aren't going to turn them over 2-0 or 3-0.
Just written that as well.
So, did you?
Just written that.
Yeah, it's so in sync. So, I'm
funny that.
I'm kind of going into game week 2 now, thinking I might just wait and see what happens. Ooh. I might just wait. Now, the Man United fixtures after that is Brighton, Spurs, Newcastle. So, yes, I do want Man United, but I might just hold my horses and just see. Right now, if I go to Fantasy Football Scout and I sort by difficulty on the fixture ticker, which if you're a member over on Fantasy Football Scout, you can do, bang at the top, Everton, West Brom at home next, Crystal Palace away, difficult but winnable, Brighton at home next, the Merseyside derby after that, Southampton away, they are top of the ticker. I want an Everton player for West Brom at home game week 2. 100%. And at the minute...
Which one?
I don't know. I want Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but I want to see how Jimenez gets on tomorrow night. And Werner, of course. Let's see. So there's my team. Not a lot to shout about, guys. Still plenty to go. Lascelles on my bench was a bit annoying, but if James doesn't play, maybe he comes in. Let's see. 42 points. Very average. Game week rank 2.3. Hoping that's going to go up after tomorrow. Let's see where it comes out. I'm not looking at my overall rank. Are you looking at your overall rank with any sort of... Well, that doesn't really matter, does it? After sort of game week 3, 4, 5, then you maybe start looking at it. But for game week 1, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I think at the end of game week 1 last year, I was at 3.5 million.
Yeah, it's like, don't worry
about
it. And
I finished the year at 3.5k. So let's not worry about overall
rank. Let's not worry about it. So there we are. That's my team. Plenty to go. On the flip side of that, you're on 55 points, so beating me by some margin. Overall rank 1.2. But you have played. Or your team has played. So... apart from Salah doing the business for you, and of course Aubameyang captain, Lascelles with the clean sheet looks pretty good. But outside of that, is a host of threes and twos and ones. So maybe expecting a bit more.
Yeah, but equally, I look at that team and it's exactly, and I feel like I've got deja vu because I look at that team and I think, yeah, but I didn't pick you for game week 1. I picked you for the longer term and all of that malarkey. And Son is the one exception. And he's only there because everything you've just said about Manchester United, minus the Palace bit, is how I felt on Friday night.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I've had Bruno the whole of pre-season and I thought, I don't even know if I want Bruno. Like, I don't know if he's going to quarantine when he gets back from, where was he, Portugal?
Yeah. I think he's all right, by the way.
He is.
He's not got
a quarantine, so he's fine now. But we didn't know that ahead of the deadline. We found that out Saturday night. So it's like, well, I could have had a player that was in 2 weeks' worth of quarantine and had to make a transfer anyway. Or I could have bought in Rashford instead, but then I didn't know if he was fully fit. And I don't know what's going on with Greenwood because that situation is a mess. And we don't know where Pogba is because obviously he's had coronavirus and we don't know if he's going to be available. So all of that was playing in my head about Manchester United. And I thought, I want a player that is guaranteed to play for their team, that's got potentially a big upside if I'm going to take that chance. And so it came down to a straight choice between Son or a Chelsea player. So it was either Havertz or maybe a chance on Pulisic. Pulisic is the one I want. But I wasn't convinced he was going to get 90 minutes. And that worried me. So
it's a big shout to go three Spurs, though, to go Son, given that you've got Kane as well. Big shout.
It was, but then the stats, everything suggested that we were going to beat Everton. It would be a high-scoring game. Okay. They haven't beaten us since 2012.
Ooh, okay.
So it's 8 years. They're always high-scoring, 6-2, 3-3, 3-2, whatever. So for me, I was looking at that game thinking, well, Son's on corners, Son to Kane. I mean, it's 1 week. I'm happy to have three Spurs. I'm not happy to have three Spurs moving forward. And I know it looks like I've got my Spurs goggles on. And maybe I do for game week one. But I didn't know where to go with Chelsea. I felt really panicked about it. And I didn't want to not have Kane. In terms of the captain's armband, I said this to you yesterday, didn't I? I can't get upset about Salah. I'd never even considered captaining Salah.
You were always between Aubameyang and Kane, right?
So I did the right thing by moving my armband to Aubameyang. I never considered it with Salah. And that might, I mean, in hindsight, of course I should have looked at it a bit more, but pre-season form with Salah, I just didn't trust him. Sorry, Mo. I beg your forgiveness. I'll captain you next time. But I look at the rest of my team and I think there's not a lot I want to change in there. I do want a United player, but I sort of don't. So I'm waiting to see what happens with them this week. I do want a City player, but I want City from three. So what do I do going into game week two? I don't know.
Okay, treble Saints as well. How are you feeling about that double up with Saints at the back now?
I'm all right with that.
Yeah?
That's a thing that I can fix that another time. That's not a problem. I'll play Ryan next week anyway. I won't play McCarthy because I've got the rotating keeper, so that's fine.
A few people in the live chat noticing Keenan Davis in your team, Sam, from FPL Family. I told you, didn't I? I said to you when I did my first draft, you will have Keenan Davis in your team.
Yeah, but why have I got him?
Because I said you'd have him.
No, it isn't. The only reason I've got him is because I didn't want to have Brewster, because I had this sudden panic on Thursday morning. I woke up on Friday morning, and I thought, oh my God. Like, if Robbo or Van Dijk or someone at Liverpool explodes, I can't get him. Because I've got Brewster on my bench and he's not gone anywhere. So I took him out and put Davis
so
in.
So want a Keenan.
Because I don't want any other Aston Villa players. So I was like, well, you'll do for now. And if Brewster goes out on loan, which I still hope he will, then Brewster will come back in. But
I said it weeks ago. The guys at Hamza, Lee said it. Joe said, yeah, Lee said it. I said it.
I hate myself.
I told you you'd have him.
I'm not interested in him. I'm not interested in... I've basically burnt that spot with him.
Very good. Well, there we go. 55 points, which I think when all said and done...
It's fine.
I think it's going to be about par.
It'll be about average.
I think it'll be about par.
And that's where I was last year. And I go back to what I've said, and I know I sound like a bit of a broken record tonight, but genuinely, I do mean it. Don't panic about game week one.
People are saying, where's Livermore, by the way? That's a good point. Where's Jake Livermore? Well, famously, on the FPL show last Thursday, Jake Livermore was in that team and a key cog.
Key what?
Sam's FPL team. Where's he gone?
Jake Livermore's never been a key cog. Jake Livermore, I wanted rotating keepers, and I said that on the FPL show. I wanted rotating keepers, and the only way to do it was to free up 0.5. So Livermore became Bissouma to free up 0.5.
Fair enough. Can't believe Livermore was even in there in the first place. But anyway, he's gone. 55 points, overall rank of 1.2. Let's see where we are in terms of overall rank in the next few weeks.
I mean, if Werner could just, you know...
It'll be good, Sam.
Cough a bit tomorrow.
Nah,
and have to miss a game.
Got a feeling it'll be good. FPL Flynn is saying, hashtag bring back Livermore. Dan Norman is saying, Livermore bandwagon incoming. People are saying, where's Ox Lee? Will Gregory is saying, Jake Livermore greater than Salah. Hashtag essential. The Livermore love, or lack of it from you, Sam, is... You've let people down here.
I still love him.
It's rubbish, Livermore.
He doesn't like you, because you were mean about him on the FPL show.
Another super chat from Highbury Boys. Thank you for the super chat. Don't waste your wild card or -4 hits for this week. Trust your team.
I couldn't have said that better myself.
That is the overall message I think we should take from this live stream, is that, listen, it's game week one. We know a lot more now about the teams and how they're going to set up than we did, say, you know, 2 or 3 days ago. So
yeah.
Don't panic. I think there's 1 or 2 changes I would like to make, but I'm definitely not panicking.
Just enjoy it. That's what FPL is all about.
It's back.
Enjoy it. Love the Livermore love.
A quick shout out.
Keenan Davis. Nothing else to do with it.
Keenan Davis, come on. You'll love him when he scores. A quick shout out to all of our new Patreon supporters. We had tons of... Actually, on the day of kickoff, or the evening before kickoff, we had something like 10 new patrons come and join us. So, guys, thank you very much if you're new to the FPL Family Patreon community. If you've joined us at either the Ohana, the Manager of the Month, or the Zoom tier, Go check it out, patreon.com/FPL family. Lots and lots of new people joining in the pre-season. The Manager of the Month League is up to now, I think, maybe a sort of 100 plus people. So getting very competitive now. And the Slack is getting great. Loads of people over in the Slack. Yeah. And a great little community forming over there. And the Ohana podcasts are going to keep coming thick and fast. Obviously, this Friday was about, you know, locking in game week one. But if you become a patron now, you can go unlock a podcast that I did a week or so ago when I was talking about the All or Nothing documentary and the impact that's had on my FPL thinking. When I'm bigging up Ali, actually. Actually, take that with a pinch of salt. But listen, I think that's what we're going to try and do a little bit more with the channel and with the Ohana podcast this year is, you know, yes, we are fundamentally an FPL platform. But, you know, if we're doing a few more of the FPL X videos like you did with Josh Ball, guys, if you've not checked that out on the YouTube channel yet, after this video, go check out the video that Sam did with Josh Ball, last year's winner, where you did a great interview with him about what it's like to win and his strategy for this year. And how, you know, he studies maths, right? He's a mathematician by trade, and how that helps him from an FPL perspective to address the game. So a really great video that we did a week or so ago. Go check that out on the channel. And yeah, if you're a Patreon supporter, loads of Ohana goodness coming at you every single Friday with maybe some differing topics outside of FPL as we go forward. But the point of Ohana is that it's for you guys as a community. Get in the Slack. Tell us what you want us to talk about. Right? We tend to pick the topics. Not Jake Livermore, probably not Keenan Davis either, and after today, certainly not Dele Alli. But if you wanted to talk about stuff outside of FPL, then come tell us. Come tell us on the Slack. That podcast is all for you guys. And at the Zoom tier, listen, thank you so much for all of our Zoom tier patrons. You guys have really embraced this as a concept.
We didn't expect this, did we?
Honestly didn't know how that was going to go, whether people were just going to be like, I want to talk to you guys, bloody hell. But actually, loads of people are really interested.
We've done
like three or four between us now. Where we've spoken to Eddie and Liam and a few of the other guys and Nathan, and those calls are going, I think, going really well. We're really enjoying them. I'm hoping the guys, you guys, Liam and Eddie and Nathan, and all the other guys that we've done Zoom calls with so far, really enjoying them back as well. Certainly feel like they're going really well. So if you want to go check us out at the $10 Zoom tier, patreon.com/FPL family, want to go and support us this year, want a bit extra from FPL Family going into the new season, then that is where you can find it. That's where you can find it. You can also find us all over the place, actually. We're on Patreon, of course. If you want to listen to the audio of this live stream back on Spotify, Audio Boom, or Deezer, or Apple Music, then you can absolutely do that. Because we know that these live streams are pretty long, right? Not everybody's got maybe an hour and a half to sit in front of YouTube and watch a video, but maybe you stick your headphones in and you listen to the podcast. That's an absolutely fine thing to do.
You're doing one this week, aren't you?
Yes, I'm going to be on the official FPL podcast this week, so look out for that towards the end of the week, maybe Thursday, Friday. No FPL show for us this week. I think they've got some other guests on, but we'll be back on in a couple of weeks, I think.
I think it's Gianni.
Could be Gianni.
Holly?
Could be Gianni and Holly. Let's see. We don't know. But we're on again in a couple of weeks. Instagram, Facebook, and all that good stuff as well. And, of course, Twitter at FPL Family. Sam, that's just about it for tonight. My overriding feeling is it's back. So happy. So happy it's back. Don't panic. It's game week one. If you've had a bad game week, don't worry about it. If you didn't get your captain right, don't worry about it. I think it's the overriding feeling.
The thing is, if you didn't captain Salah, but you did own him, you're still up.
You're probably fine. And the other thing we need to learn is get rid of those Spurs assets. Double quick, guys. Thank you very much for joining us tonight on FPL Family. I'm going to go and find a good divorce lawyer. Hit that subscribe button if you're new around here. It's worth hitting, guys, because every time there's a new FPL X video where we meet somebody else from the community, you'll be absolutely the first to know about it. Hit the big red subscribe button. Hit the little notify bell as well. Leave us a like before you go. Well done in game week one. Look forward to seeing all of your updated scores after the Wolves and Chelsea and Brighton performances tomorrow night. Until this time next week, Sunday night, 8:30. We will see you next time. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.